Welcome to episode 38 of Practical Defense, Child Safety for Ages 5 and 6. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Addix. In this episode, we're going to cover measures to help keep your child safe. Now, back in episode 27, we covered tips for children ages 3 to 5. In this episode, we'll cover suggestions for children ages 5 and 6. But first, we have our weekly tip from Kristen at kristensguide.com. Some of the worst cases of violence happen at the hands of people we love. Domestic violence is in every neighborhood. If you hear or see a neighbor or friend being physically abused, call 911 or at least your police's non-emergency number. Kristen's guide offers information about recognizing and dealing with abuse. And that URL is kristensguide.com. KristensGuide.com. We'll be right back with our tips for keeping your children just a bit safer. As I mentioned in episode 27, this is a pretty huge subject and the material differs depending upon the age of your child. I've already covered ages 3 to 5, and there's some crossover between that age group and 5 and 6, so I'm going to repeat some of the material here. Also, there is some controversy over what threats are real and what are manufactured by the media to keep you watching TV and news programs. And that brings me to the point that child safety is a part of parenting. You know, it's as personal and individual as parenting. So please take what I recommend here merely as suggestions. There really is no right or wrong. You may feel that I've undervalued a certain area and overemphasized another, or even completely omitted something vital. Pick and choose what you feel is correct. In the end, only you can decide what is best for your child. And for this episode, I'll be pulling material from both the book Protecting the Gift by Gavin DeBecker and The Reality-Based System, and even the NRA. So what do you teach your young child in terms of safety when they're starting to understand the world around them? When the children are around 5 and 6 years old, they start heading to kindergarten, and they have some of the same challenges as kids from 3 to 5, but they also have new ones. Now, one of the big ones that everyone hears, and it still applies to this age group, is that we're constantly told, don't talk to strangers. And this is also called stranger danger. And believe it or not, this one is controversial. Now, if you look at the statistics, child abduction by complete strangers is so incredibly rare that it's hard to fathom. In a study conducted by a function of the National Crime Justice Reference Service, in 1991, there were 119 child abductions by strangers or a slight acquaintance. Now, compare that to the 58,200 committed by friends and acquaintances in the same year. With numbers like 119 to 58,000, why do we tell our children to be wary of strangers? Why do we spend so much effort on that when it really is a very small risk compared to everything else? The experts are starting to suggest that we're looking in the wrong place for the villains. And this is going to hurt, and we probably don't want to talk about it, but we need to look there. It's easier to blame some monster in the dark than it is to look at the people in our own lives. I mean, even in 2002, there were 100 child abductions by strangers. It's just not as common as the media would like us to believe. The majority of abductions are coming from people that we know and trust. Employees, neighbors, friends, and relatives. People that work in our homes like handymen, gardeners, housekeepers, daycare workers, and babysitters. We're putting up shields and showing those shields to our children and then saying, everything outside this boundary is dangerous, so be aware and stay away. Everything inside is safe. And then we turn around and invite these wolves into our safe zone. And it's really not a happy thought. So in the end, in the mind of the child, this person that we see occasionally isn't a stranger. The child has seen him or her before, mommy and daddy talk to him all the time, so this person is not a stranger and therefore safe. And that's where the problem is. Now, Mr. DeBecker has a great section in his book with tips on and suggestions on how to select people to be in our homes. He even provides interview questions for housekeepers and daycare workers and babysitters. These are hard questions, but the ones that you really want to ask, the ones that you really need to ask. Mr. DeBecker also suggests that we teach our children how to talk to strangers and offer points on how to do that. Children mimic their parents, and that mimicry is stronger than anything that they're told. We tell them not to talk to strangers, and then we turn around and do it in front of them all day long. So what Mr. DeBecker recommends is teaching your child how to talk to strangers and the selection process. And in fact, he has an entire chapter in his book on it. He also recommends that if a child gets separated from you, not to go to a policeman. And the problem is, from a child's height and understanding, they can't tell who a policeman is and who's not. Plus, how often do you see a uniformed police officer on foot in your neighborhood? To young children, all uniforms look alike, so anyone from a baggage checker to an airport doorman or even a soldier is a policeman. He recommends teaching your children to always go to a woman, any woman. He suggests that the chances of picking a female child predator randomly from a crowd is so unlikely that it's practically to be dismissed. Plus, a woman is far more likely to stay with the child to ensure its safe return than a man is. Now, in our reality-based children's survival classes, we teach kids about good touch and bad touch. And the easiest way to explain this is that touching anything covered by your bathing suit or underwear is a bad touch. Also, keeping secrets from your parents is a bad thing. Even if someone makes you promise not to tell, you need to tell your parents, a teacher, or a police officer. Next, if you have a pool, you must teach your child to stay away from the pool without an adult being right there with him or her. Fences are a nice backup, but children are ingenious and unrelenting when they really want something. So don't rely on fences exclusively. Education first, with a physical protection as backup. Now, another big threat to children are streets and cars. Children, especially young children, get so excited when they play that they pay little attention to their surroundings. You need to teach them to try to be aware of big landmarks that they can easily see and hopefully recognize. So kids running across a street while not looking is a serious hazard. They can be playing tag, chasing a ball, riding their skateboard, and just go right out into traffic. Make them aware of the danger and never let them cross the street without an adult present and holding their hand. You can describe it as, never step onto the black pavement without an adult, specifying the color difference between the gray or white concrete sidewalk and the black asphalt of the road that, you know, can help them understand and recall the differences. Your child should also memorize their name, you as the parent's name, and if you can, your home address and telephone number. I know it's a bit of a tall order, but it should be possible for a five-year-old. Now, what often happens is that when you ask a child what's his mother's name, you often get mommy as the response. Or if they do know the first name, they don't know the last name. If they get separated from you, the more information they can convey about themselves, the faster they'll be returned to you. You can also find identification bracelets pretty easily on the web. After I mentioned them in episode 27, a bunch of people wrote in with links to sites that make them. So this is pretty easy to find. They look similar to medical alert bracelets and necklaces, but these just have contact information about the child. They're kind of like dog tags for kids. Also, in last week's Quick Tip, episode number 37, I spent some time talking about the National Child Identification Program. And I won't go into detail here again, so you should check out that episode. It's quick and to the point, and it's only about 4.5 minutes long. When a child reaches 5 and 6 years old, they're starting to master the use of the telephone. But that doesn't mean that they should be answering the telephone. Only an adult should ever answer the phone. And likewise, a child should never answer the front door. You have no idea who's on the phone or behind the door, and the last person you want exposed to a complete unknown and potentially dangerous situation is your young child. But the phone is a really powerful rescue tool. Now consider teaching your child about calling 911 or whatever the local emergency number is in your country. Keep an emergency contact list next to every phone and teach your child how to use it. Put the numbers in an order of priority so the child can just start at the top and work their way down. You can't expect a child to evaluate a situation like an adult, especially when under stress, so just have the child start at the top of the list and go down until he or she reaches someone who can help. Now here's a quick list of some people you might consider putting on the list, and it's in no particular order. The parent's cell number and office number. Remember that you might be out at dinner or at work when something happens, and the guardian or babysitter might be the one incapacitated and in need of assistance. You can include a trusted neighbor, or grandparents, or aunts and uncles. 911, or whatever your emergency contact number is. You know, a teacher or a babysitter. Again, you choose the person on the list and the order of the list depending upon your preferences. Another thing you should consider teaching your child is to never, ever get into a car with someone. It doesn't matter who. A friend, a friend's mom, a relative, a teacher, a coach, a stranger, pretty much anyone. This rule needs to be unbreakable. So even if this person says, "It's okay, your mom told me to get you," or, this is a big one, "Your dad's hurt and he asked me to come take you to him," the answer is always no. You can't put discriminating circumstances on this rule because someone may use some twisted logic to convince the child it's okay. The answer is simply no. In my family, this unbreakable rule is punctuated with, "even if it's Uncle Alex." Now when that happens, it means absolutely no exceptions. But, you know, life is life, and there might be situations where you can't get to your child and a trusted friend or relative needs to pick him or her up. But here's the thing, you've ingrained into your child that under no circumstances should the child ever come home or go in the car with anyone other than their parent. And this could be when you're stuck at work or you got into a car accident and have no transportation and your child is sitting at school or at a bus stop somewhere waiting for you to come get them. So what do you do then? The solution is a password. Only under one condition and one condition only should the child go with someone other than the parent, and that is when they have the password. Now, in order for the child to remember the password, the child should pick it. This helps with memory and retention. Heck, I still remember my childhood password, and I'd bet good money that my sisters do as well. If this person knows the password, it is the only time the child should ever go home with someone. If the child asks for the password and the person doesn't know it, they should immediately seek out another adult, preferably a woman, and this can be a teacher, a coach, or another parent, but stay away from that person. Now, the secret password is the one way to authenticate this person as being trusted that can't be faked and can still be understood by a child. And lastly, since this is the Practical Defense Podcast, I'm going to cover weapons. Now, if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you are well aware that I'm an advocate of weapons for personal protection, especially for women. What gives weapons their power is also what makes them dangerous, especially if they're mishandled. Therefore, any weapon that is brought into the home must be secured and protected from children. Unattended weapons and children do not mix. Young children are fascinated by guns and weapons. They see them all the time on TV and in video games. They're cool, they're dangerous, and they're used by heroes and villains alike. In my family, we use the philosophy that exposure and familiarity removes the mysticism and overfascination with the item. If you show a child something and then lock it away, saying, "No, you can't touch it, it's for adults only, stay away," and it's something as cool as a gun, then the child will often obsess about it. If you know all about the item, you use it on a regular basis, you have training in it, then there's no mystery and no obsession. But that takes dedication, time, and effort. If you aren't interested or capable of such a commitment, then perhaps firearms are not appropriate for your home. Now here's the thing. Just because you might not keep firearms in your household doesn't mean that your child might not come across them at a friend's home or out on the street. And for that reason, you should still teach your child about gun safety. The National Rifle Association, the NRA, has a great children's gun safety procedure. Now, despite what some people think, the NRA is not about putting guns into the hands of every Yahoo idiot in the world. They're about safety first, training, and I'm talking about civilian, police, and military training, and protecting our rights to keep firearms for sport and protection. I'm a lifetime member of the NRA, and though I don't always approve of some of their political machinations, overall, they're a great organization, provide superb training, and are the ones fighting the hardest for our Second Amendment rights. If you own a firearm, you need to be a member of the NRA. So what I'm going to do here is quote directly from the NRA website on child gun safety and what you should teach your children. So what you should teach your children is, if you find a gun or ammunition, stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. Four easy steps. The initial steps of stop and don't touch are the most important. To counter the natural impulse to touch a gun, it's imperative that you impress these steps of safety message upon your child. Now, in today's society, where adult supervision is not always possible, the direction to leave the area is also essential. Under some circumstances, area may be understood to be a room if your child cannot physically leave the apartment or house. Tell an Adult emphasizes that a child should seek a trustworthy adult, a neighbor, a relative, or a teacher if a parent or guardian is not available. The NRA's Eddie Eagle Gun Safe Program includes an instructor guide, activity books, a poster, and an animated video to explain the four-step safety message. For more information about the program, you can visit www.nrahq.org/safety/Eddie, and Eddie is E-D-D-I-E, or call an 800 number, and that number is 800-231-0752. And what I'll do is I'll include links to the Eddie the Eagle Gun Safe Program in the show notes. So stop by the website and check it out. So, in summary, for the younger children, generally ages 5 to 6, child safety training is a personal preference. Don't talk to strangers and stranger danger is controversial. Consider teaching your children how to talk to strangers. Be selective in whom you invite into your home. Consider teaching your children to go to a woman if they get separated or lost. Although it may be difficult, you need to discuss inappropriate touching with your children. If you have a pool, you need to teach your young child to stay away from the pool. Set physical boundaries that should not be crossed without an adult, things like streets. They should also have an awareness of cars. Children should memorize basic information about themselves, their full names, including the family name, the name of their parents, their home address, and telephone number. Children should not answer the phone or the door. Keep a list of emergency numbers for the child to use by every phone in the house. A child should never get into a car with someone not their parent. Have the child pick a password for use in emergency situations if someone other than their parent must pick them up. Unattended weapons and children do not mix. Teach them not to touch or handle guns or ammunition without an adult present. All right, that does it for this episode of Practical Defense. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.